Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Welcome back to another edition of First Team Podcast. I'm joined by my colleague here at First Team Podcast, Jose. How is it going, Jose?
It's nice to be here, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. So this is our final episode of 2020, and we are going to talk about the future of the New York Cosmos, the future of the Boys in Green. First Team Podcast has been trying to reach out to the New York Cosmos, and we have not received any contact from the club. And on social media, they seem to only be promoting merchandise and other organizations that are selling historical memorabilia. This episode is not trying to attack the club, attack anyone associated with the club. We just want answers, basically, because we are very passionate about the Boys in Green.
Absolutely. At the end of the NISA season, you know, you haven't really heard anything, any concrete plans about next year. I mean, you know, I think we all, you and I understand, you know, because we keep an eye on these things, that we don't know exactly when the spring season will kick off. And it's still a fluid situation with COVID-19, especially now that we're in the middle of this, of the second wave. But yeah, the team isn't maintaining much of a social media presence. You know, you do get the tweets about, you know, wishing people a happy Hanukkah or, you know, happy Thanksgiving, things of that nature. I'm sure we'll see a Christmas tweet and a happy New Year's tweet and things of that nature. But yeah, it's just tweets selling merchandise. And there was an article talking a little bit about the creation of the team from 50 years ago. But beyond that, there's not much going on. There's not much that we're hearing from them, which is it's just concerning.
Yeah, and just to be fair here at First Team Podcast, during the NISA season in 2020, Eric Stover, he did come on the show, and he did answer questions, and we did send over some questions, and we did have a Q&A on our website. So it's not like they don't want to talk to us, but I think for fans, it seems like now is the most important time to try to regroup and try to rebuild the New York Cosmos. Yeah, they're this historical brand, but for so many years, we've been through that roller coaster ride each year. But it feels like going into 2021, that roller coaster ride is just getting even more scarier.
Yeah, well said. It is a roller coaster ride, you know, like you just don't know what's going to happen. And it's just, again, it's so disappointing. I mean, there's no interacting with the team, you know, previous ownership and even Rocco's ownership when he first started. There were team events. There was, you know, a party at the end of the year. You got to, you know, go to the city or sometimes venues out on Long Island even for that fan base, where you got to meet some of the players and talk to some of the front office staff and even just get a little preview of things to come. And we're not seeing anything like that. And yeah, the scariness of the roller coaster now, it's, you kind of hold your breath as a Cosmos fan. Like, is there going to be a team on the field next year? And this is, what is it now? 2018, 2019, 2020, now 2021. This is the fourth year in a row that this is happening. Now, sure, early 2018, the reason was the NASL, where the Cosmos were playing and had won 3 out of 4 championships since the reboot era began, was desanctioned. They weren't in business. They weren't allowed to play. So you can't blame anyone in the front office for that one. But then 18 into 19, there was questions about, is it worth the Cosmos continuing on its existence just as a Cosmos B in NPSL? We weren't sure if we were going to play. It was decided that it was going to come back. They tried to spin up NPSL Pro, which was going to be like a third division professional league at the top of NPSL. That didn't come to fruition, you know, due to challenges around getting insurance and the mix of amateur and professional players and things of that nature. So then 2019, at the end, we're thinking, well, are we going to have a team at all? Because Rocco pretty much said, if there's nowhere for the Cosmos to play, what is he going to do? And about this time, 12, maybe 13 months ago, was when the announcement was made that we were going to play in NISA. So at least we got a little bit of, okay, we're going to have a team. But then it took a while for that to get going. Then the pandemic hit and there were challenges there. And then now here we are yet again, just wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I do miss those supporter Christmas parties. I believe the one that I went to at Jack Dempsey's, I think that was run by the Five Points, right? So run by the Cosmo supporters group. I think maybe the club helped out a bit. I think they brought the championship trophy with them.
Yes, they did.
But besides that, I don't remember seeing players or stuff like that. But yeah, I really do miss those events because at that time, it really felt like we were all together as one, as a club, as a fan base. Right. And I think we are to a certain extent virtually, but I think the club has to lead that charge, right? The club has to lead that charge. The fans can only do so much, right? First Team Podcasts can only do so much talking about the New York Cosmos, hoping and praying for the best. But Eric Stover and Rocco Camiso and people at MediaCom, those are the people in those organizations that have the power, right? Rocco has the power. And I think we still have to thank Rocco for saving the team in 2017, because at that point, the Cosmos are my life, right? The Cosmos are my life. And I was really sad when that was happening, when the Cosmos might have went out of business and Rocco saved the club. So I think we still have to be appreciative of that. But I think we still have to try to want the best for the team and to try to be that collective that is working together, right? Because we don't want to be fans on social media getting mad every minute. I think a lot of neutral fans, they're probably sitting there thinking, what do you guys want, right? What do these fans want? I don't think we want guarantees in winning championships or signing star players. I don't think for us that's the thing. I think we just want to feel like we're a part of something and that we have a vision and that we have a plan and we're all working to get to that plan. Instead, I think some fans think that we want a big name signing like Raul. We're not calling for that. That would be nice, right? That would definitely be nice. But that's not what we're advocating for.
No, I think, no question. Everything you mentioned about Rocco and everything he's done for, you know, for this club, and for soccer, in the area here. But, I think that we want engagement, right? We want engagement as fans. We want to be able to be included in things that the club does, in celebrating the club, particularly on this 50th anniversary year that the team now has, you know. And you're right. No one is calling for a return to the glory days. We just want consistency. We want a core of players that stood up in the green and white year after year. That not only can we count on them, but they can count on us. They can count us for supporting them and for seeing them, you know, grow as individuals on the field and off the field and be involved with the community. And you know, we in this year, particularly with COVID-19, there isn't an expectation, of course, that we're going to get together with the club in person. But you know, couldn't the club do a Zoom call, right? We keep hearing time again, you know, Chicago NISA, Rochester NISA, places like that are doing some business over Zoom, and they're engaging and they're building fan bases, and they're doing it in a very challenging time, but they're being creative and they're using the technology that's laying around and what we have to do to get to the other side. And but you know, Cosmos for some reason are not doing even anything like that.
I've always been calling for some sort of town hall meeting when we were able to meet in person, because I remember the New York Red Bulls, they were mad when they sacked Mike Petke, right? And the fans called for a town hall meeting, right? And they got one, right? They got that town hall meeting, and they were able to explain their side of the story from the club, and the fans were able to ask questions to management. And I feel like Cosmos fans and I think the sad thing is that the fan base has been shrinking over the years because the club is not keeping them around. And I don't think it's regarding a certain league. I don't think fans expect MLS or expect Champions League soccer. I just think the fans want to feel like they're a part of something.
Like, we can't even, at this point, we don't even know, right? What they're potentially thinking in the front office. Like, you can't even read what they're doing. It just it just seems like, you know, there's no one steering the ship, right? We're just dead in the water. And you know, I'm just I just can't believe it's come to this. And You know, I know there's been articles about it, and there's been attempts, on social media from supporters groups to engage a club. And I know that behind the scenes, there's many, many supporters that have reached out as well to people within the club, and they've not heard anything concrete back. And we understand that certain things may be said, and they have to be confidential, and they can't be on social media, and we're very respectful of that, or at least that supporters that I know are very respectful of that. But to not get so much as a answer back, it's just, I don't think it's ever been like that to this degree. So again, I know we keep talking in circles, but we keep coming back to, it's very disconcerting that this, you know, fourth year in a row, we're once again faced with questions that we can't answer.
Some people might say that if they don't respond, that means that it's good news, right? That means that they're going to play in 2021. I would argue that that means bad news, because if you are happy that you're going to play, that you're going to sign players, that you're going to put a great product on the field, then you want to talk to your fans and you want to have that aligned vision with all of your stakeholders. Instead, we have the direct opposite. We have the direct opposite in that, which is really sad. We have David Villa's Queensborough FC coming into the New York City market, which I think is
the USL.
Yeah.
For 2022.
Yeah,
They were supposed to be 2021, but then it got delayed for a year because of COVID-19. Yeah. But you know, I think it's probably more than that. I know they were pretty ambitious when that project was first announced about a year ago. There was all this talk of they were going to build a modular stadium in Willets Point, and in the meantime, they were going to help York College renovate a stadium that's near the Jamaica Long Island Railroad station. And I think the ENF train there, the 179th Street stop, and it's a good spot, and they were going to play in a renovated stadium. But a lot of that just kind of went dead, and now you have a little bit of stink coming off the owner of that team in David Villa with the allegations against him of sexual harassment for a period of time against an intern that worked at NYCFC. I know you were getting to a question, but I wanted to kind of just jump in and I guess my concern is that one way or the other, Queensborough FC at some point will kick a ball, and they will kick a ball in the borough of Queens, which really was like one of the original Cosmos Country areas. And now, you know, we are having that area of the five boroughs now populated by a team. We have NYCFC in the Bronx. So that's two big missed opportunities for the Cosmos to really plant a flag and say, no, you know, the city is ours. We're the New York City Originals. We're the big team here. Everyone else is welcome to the scraps if there's any, right? Like, we got to have that mentality. But we just don't seem to have that. Even in the face of competition, we don't seem to have that.
Yeah, and First Team Podcast, we did release an article that the Cosmos should play at Richmond County Bank Ballpark in Staten Island. We got so much hate on that one on various social media channels from Cosmos supporters, right? For some people that I think you know, right? Or that you've heard of. That's besides the point. But the point I'm trying to make, and to all those fans, if they are listening to this, is that they should look into that stadium, because for so long the Cosmos have been out on Long Island, and I think they have built a fan base there, and I think fans and maybe the club has got too used of that, and maybe people might not like Staten Island and say that it's too isolated or whatever's the case. People argue that the ferry boat, I don't want to go on the ferry, or the tolls are too much. But I come from New Jersey, right? So to trek all the way to Long Island, or people are coming from long lengths to get to games.
Yeah,
it's not about where you live and the distance to the stadium. For me, it's more of, I love the New York Cosmos, and I want to see them be successful on and off the field. And how do you do that in the crowded New York City market? Well, I think you take advantage of what the city of New York is offering, right? They're offering over $5 million in stadium upgrades, I believe in stadium seats, and they're going put brand new turf down, or put down turf. I think it's natural grass
right now.
So
yeah, they're going to reconfigure it for soccer and rugby and football. But yeah, I think it's that lack of consistency, you know, the team, like I'd rather the team go to a place like Staten Island, which admittedly would be a challenge for me to get to. I happen to live on Long Island. For me, when the seasons the team has played on Long Island, very easy for me to go. The season that they played at MCU Park, it wasn't as easy, but guess what? I still got in the car. I still drove 1.5 hours, 2 hours each way, paid for my parking and came back because I support the team. So the challenge there is, they used to be on Long Island at Hofstra. The attendance dwindled. They almost went under. They moved to MCU Park and they lost a lot of their Long Island following. They started building back up their city following at MCU. Then NASL was desanctioned. They no longer played at MCU. And in 2018, they split it. I think they tried to see if they can maintain both fan bases by playing some games in on Manhattan at Rocco Commisso Stadium at Columbia University and 217th Street, wherever it is up north. And then they played the other games at the Hofstra Soccer Stadium, not Sheward Stadium, a smaller soccer-specific stadium, lovely little stadium. It maybe fits 2,000 people on the Hofstra campus, Hofstra University campus. But they didn't really get, you know, I went to those games, and what I observed was that the Long Island games, they were in the hundreds, maybe tops 800 people at one game, whereas the ones at Columbia, Rocco Commisso Stadium, were even less people. And that's really off a subway line. So I think playing in two different places at the same time, that didn't work. But also there was no marketing done that year for the team. That was the Cosmos B and NPSL. And we kind of all just knew word of mouth that they were playing. And we knew to look at the NPSL website and things like that. So, yeah, you know, you and I weren't saying in that article, hey, move to Staten Island, this is the promised land. It was, there's a facility coming up that's available that the city is willing to invest in that has beautiful sight lines of the, you know, Manhattan skyline. What could be more New York looking than to see our team take the field with that backdrop of, you know, the greatest city in the country, or the greatest city on earth, as some people say, right there, New York, the New York Cosmos, right? New York City. Yeah, it wouldn't be easy for fans from Long Island to get to, but the ones that are motivated, such as myself, we're going to be there no matter what. As to for some of the people in the city, you take a ferry. You know, if you really care to go, and you're going to be there. But the other side of the coin is the team then has to really commit to, we're going to stay here for a few years. We're going to market. We're going to build. We're going to put down roots in the community, and we're going to belong to an area. And again, that's not what's happening with this team. And that name, New York Cosmos, is only going to go so far for so long. You know, now we're getting to a point where a lot of the Cosmos players from the original teams, from the heyday of the original team, are passing away. You know, they're men in their late 60s to late 70s, and you know, several of them are passing away. So we're losing that connection to the old club. We're losing the connection to the old fan base, which must still be around. And as for the reboot era, we're starting to lose that fan base as well, due to a lot of the missteps of the team.
Yeah, and for all those haters on that article, the ferry's free. The ferry's free. It's about 25, 27 minutes. It's not a half an hour. It's a bit less. I guess it depends if there's traffic in the water.
Sure.
Yeah, so for the most part, it's less than a half an hour, which I would say that's a good deal, right? But then if people want to drive, then I guess gas and tolls is a nightmare, right? So, but one last thing here, Jose. What are your New Year resolutions for the New York Cosmos?
Well, I guess, you know, my New Year resolutions for me personally and the Cosmos is to keep supporting, to keep asking questions, to keep being involved in any way that I can. You know, to wear my jacket with my Cosmos logo on it, so anywhere I go, people see Cosmos, stuff like that, right? To like represent the team as I can. But for the Cosmos themselves, if I were my hope, I guess, maybe let me phrase it that way, not a resolution, but my hope is that sooner than later, we start hearing of players that are returning, some of the players from last year. I know that at the end of the year, the NISA year, there was some questions about the quality of the on-field product, and the quality, which included the the management, the on-field management, right? The sporting side of the team. And I know that Eric Stover said that all of those things were going to be looked at. So as we kick off this new year, 2021, in a lead up to a spring season, it'd be nice to hear about any staff, new staff that are being hired for coaching, any new players that are coming in, the kind of squad that's being put together, and then hopefully a time frame on, in the month of March, we're going to have preseason and we anticipate playing a certain number of games, things of that nature, right? And we anticipate that if things go well with the coronavirus vaccines that are coming out and the pandemic is under control, that NISA will start kicking off a ball, let's say in the month of April or something like that. And maybe, we're going to be told off the bat, unfortunately, the Cosmos are not going to have fans at their home games. But, you know, we anticipate that by the fall of 2021, we'll be able to have that. Just something to hang a hope on. I know some people say it's the hope that kills you. I don't like that saying. Hope drives living and it drives life. And those are my hopes for the New York Cosmos in 2021.
My main New Year resolution is for the Cosmos to play in 2021, right? For them to play competitive soccer and to put that great product on the field. I talked to at least one player that said that he wasn't offered a contract for the next season, but it was just verbal guarantees. So it was just, hey, we want you back. We'll offer you a contract down the line, but not right now. So I think that's what we're dealing with at the moment. I don't think that's a Cosmos issue. I think that's more of a US soccer issue because the players are not paid 12-month contracts. Right. Some players are not paid a living wage. So some people believe that that's our own agenda as a media outlet is player wages. We ask everyone about that, club owners, mm-hmm. new clubs, former players. But so that's one thing on the New York Cosmos is that their contracts, the player contracts, they ended on November 15th. So this is going to go out before the end of the year. So just picture if you are sitting there not earning $1 from your employer, or technically not your employer anymore,
right?
From November to, I guess, January 1 or whenever you sign your contract again. And that's where some players, and First Team Podcast did report on this, that some players are going to play in amateur soccer, right? So I think I got told that Danny Satella, he's going to play for a team called, I think it's Clifton Elite. So in Clifton, New Jersey, you have multiple players playing in a league called the EPSL. You have players playing in the Cosmopolitan Soccer League. So,
right.
Yeah, that's their second or third job, right?
Yeah.
That's the sad reality.
It is. And I think at this level and at this state of soccer in this country is that unless you're a soccer player that's playing in MLS, you're not going to be making a living wage, right? USL, it's a little better, I suppose, in that they have a players union, so they're at least able, or a players association, so at least they're able to do some bargaining. But there again, the salaries aren't the highest, and it's not necessarily a living wage. And then you have a league like NISA, where it's akin to being a contractor. When you're, you know, I work in technology and I have a job where I've been a contractor, and the money is good when you're making it, but it's a contract and it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you have to prove your mettle that you're worth either hiring as a full-time employee or that you get a renewal on your contract. But you always have that hanging over your head. So you have to be good with budgeting and supplementing your income via other ways. And that's what all of these players on the Cosmos get stuck having to do. And, I wish it weren't that way. I wish that we do more than that for them as a team, right? That they would get a full year contract, or it would be a 2 year contract or a 2 season contract. But unfortunately, that's not the reality.
And one last thing here, I want to wish all of our listeners a very happy and safe new year. And we will be back here at First Team Podcast with our weekly podcast, our episodes twice a week, our normal one, which is out on Tuesday, and the second one, which is with Kiesel Broom, former professional soccer player, called First Team Podcast Extra Time with the one and only Kiesel Broom. And we will continue that along with our exclusive content on our website, firstteampod.com. That will all continue in 2021. And we are just improving our content each week, each day, each month. So we will be back much stronger in 2021.